Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad that you're with us today. If you have a question or something you'd like to discuss, a Bible question, a life issue, whatever the situation might be, we encourage you to call right now because we have an open line for you at 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Call right now, and let's talk about it because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Well, you know, if this gospel is going to make sense to us, we need to really know what our situation is, why we need a Savior. You know, there's so many people that look to Jesus as an example. They think he was a great moral teacher, that he lived morally, and we should follow his example. We don't need an example. We needed a Savior.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what Jesus Christ is. He is our Savior. As the angels announced his birth to the shepherds, they said, "Today I bring you good news that a Savior was born in Bethlehem." Well, that is the story. Christ is our Savior. Why? Because we needed a Savior. And what does he save us from? Well, he saves us from sin and death. That's the power that ensnared us, that ensnared all of humanity in the garden when Satan stood at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and lured Eve to that tree and then made the fruit look desirable to Eve to the point that she ate of it. And when she did, and then when Adam ate with her, they came under the control of the power of sin and death, the law of sin and death. And so we needed to be saved from that. Well, Jesus is the Savior, and he has power over sin and death, which he demonstrated through his death, burial, and resurrection. So Jesus Christ is our Savior. And when we see him as our Savior, then this gospel, this grace of God, begins to make sense to us. Now, Paul really gives the most vivid portrayal of our condition apart from Christ in his letter to the Ephesians. He says this, "And you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked." So what was our spiritual condition? What were we were being rescued from, saved from, as far as Christ is concerned? Death. The fact that we were dead in trespasses and sins. And that's where we walked. That's where we lived. That was our abode as lost people. Mm-hmm. We were living in sin and death. And while there, we were following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work, and the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Yeah. So what does it mean to be a child of wrath? It means that we're dead spiritually. That's the condemnation that is upon us. That is the law of sin and death. Right. And the wages is death. That's just reality. So Christ came into this world. He took upon himself flesh and blood. He tasted death on our behalf so that we could be rescued, set free from the power of sin and death. So no, we don't need Jesus as an example. We need Jesus as a Savior. And he performed his duties as a Savior in dying for us, bearing our sins upon his body, being buried, and then being raised back to life so that you and I could have life. That's why Paul would write in his great letter to the Romans in chapter 8 that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death.
And don't we love that?
Yes, we do. Jesus Christ is our Savior, and he saved us by the very grace that he brought into this world and showed us what it really was through his death, burial, and resurrection.
Friends, we love sharing this message, and so many of you have stepped forward to help us continue to do that. It is Basic Gospel, and we have an open line for you, 844-322-2742. If you're hearing the broadcast at coming around to 5 past the hour, 3 Central Time, you're hearing the live broadcast. And again, 844-322-2742 will get you into the studio to speak directly with Bob and me, and we would love for that to happen. 844-322-2742. And friends, you know your gifts do make a difference in the lives of people literally around the world. We hear from people of, 120-some-odd countries that have responded to the grace of God through Basic Gospel. And we hear it on a regular basis, and it's only because that you give that others can hear, believe, and live in this good news of Jesus Christ. We appreciate your partnership with us, and when you give this month, be sure to request your copy of our new resource, Gateway to Grace, a 6-message series with study guide to equip you to stand firm in the truth of God's love and grace. So just click donate at basicgospel.net and request your copy of Gateway to Grace. Again, donate at basicgospel.net. Well, Bob, we had a question from YouTube viewer Morgan. She says, if Paul holds the key and he wrote the book of Hebrews, then what are the keys that Jesus holds, and are they the same keys?
Well, it's an interesting question, and Morgan, thank you for posing it. And first, you're not going to find anywhere in the New Testament where it says Paul was given any sort of keys,
right,
other than the authority to take the gospel out into the Gentile world. Peter was the one who was given the keys to the kingdom. And we see that story recorded for us in Matthew 16. It occurs in one of my favorite places in Israel, Caesarea Philippi.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus asked the question, who do you say that I am? And Peter rose and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that was truth that had been revealed to Peter by God the Father. And in response to that, he said to Peter, I'm giving you the keys. Upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Well, what did Peter do with those keys? Well, he unlocked the kingdom to the various people groups on planet Earth. So we see him using the first key to unlock this gospel message for the Jews. So on the day of Pentecost, he stood up and proclaimed the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension of the Lord Jesus. And as he did, folks were pricked to the heart, and they said, what must we do to be saved? He said, be baptized and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, on that day, the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the Jewish world, and 3,000 were added to the body of Christ. In Acts chapter 8, we see Peter unlocking this gospel message and this kingdom for the Samaritans. And so they received the gift of the Spirit. And then in Acts 10, we see Peter marching into the home of a Gentile, Cornelius,
mm-hmm, right,
and his family, and he proclaimed to them the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as he was speaking, the Holy Spirit was given to the Gentiles, and they began to speak in tongues. So Peter used those keys to unlock this gospel message, unlock the kingdom for all the various people groups.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we see keys, we also see keys in Revelation chapter 1, where it talks about Jesus being victorious over sin and death, and therefore he has the keys of Hades and death. So he has the power over those very things. Now, in the book of Hebrews, we see in chapter 2 that Satan has had power over death. And, you know, there's been lots of debates as to what exactly that means, and I'll just read the passage. It says, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself, Jesus, likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil. Well, the devil doesn't have power to say, I'm going to take your life today, or I'm going to take your life tomorrow, or that sort of thing. He's a powerful dude, but he's not that powerful.
Yeah.
But he did introduce sin and death into the world way back in the garden. And so when Adam and Eve chose to eat, then they died spiritually. So he tempts people to sin. He does that through deception. And so with Jesus taking upon himself our flesh and blood and tasting death, he destroyed that power. He has overcome sin and death, and that's why he has the keys that we see in Revelation chapter 1.
Yeah. Morgan, hope that's a help to you. Thanks for reaching out. Again, friends, we have an open line for you at 844-322-2742. 844-322-2742. And Bob, an email that for some reason we haven't gotten to previously, and I need to get to it right now. This is from Anthony. He says, you stated in your radio broadcast on July 19th that the reason a person is unable to quit an addiction is because their spirit is dead. Are you sure you're accurate? It seems to me that the person who confesses and cries out to Jesus Christ and who even wants to quit in obedience but keeps going back may genuinely be saved. There are many people who have psychological imbalances and severe depression that makes sobriety very difficult. I believe you made a very serious error in judgment and said something that may have just sincerely hurt the faith of many true Christians that are sincerely struggling. That's from Anthony, who wrote to us through email.
Well, Anthony, maybe you're one of those that was hurt by whatever comments were made that day, and we certainly apologize for that. I think I was sharing a story of a gentleman from Canada who was addicted to alcohol and to drugs, and he had done everything in his power to try to overcome, but just couldn't, kept going back to both alcohol and drugs. And the reason... As we discovered in talking with him, was that he had never truly come to faith in Jesus Christ.
Right.
He was just looking to God for help to overcome these things, but God had something more important in mind. And what was more important was his eternal salvation. And so once this gentleman received Christ, then he experienced a freedom from those addictions. Mm-hmm. Now, there are a lot of people that break free from alcohol addictions and drug addictions who aren't Christians at all.
Sure.
They go through programs, they go through steps, and they become sober. And for years and years and years and years, so you don't have to be a Christian to be set free from addictions.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But there's one thing that's more powerful, and that's the fact that we are dead and we're enslaved to sin and death. And there's only one way for that power to be broken, and that's by the very grace of God as given to us in the person of Christ Jesus. And so when we receive Christ, as we talked about there at the top of the hour, we are set free from the law of sin and death, from the power of sin and death, by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So that's the point I was making the other day. And that's what God's main priority is for us. There are a lot of people, they have addictions, they have other sins in their life that they're trying to overcome, and they make that the priority. God, I want you to help me break free from this. Mm-hmm. That's all I want, because once that happens, then I'm going to be a happy person.
Yeah.
Well, God has something else in mind. He wants to give you life. All of us come into this world dead spiritually, and we need life. And only one person has that life to give us, and his name is Jesus Christ. And when we receive him, we receive life. And he comes to live inside of us. And now we have the power of resurrection coursing through this new spiritual DNA that we have that occurs at new birth. And that's God's priority for us.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to have relationship with us. And so he sent Jesus to reconcile us unto himself. When we receive him, then we receive that reconciliation. We receive that forgiveness. We receive that righteousness. We are made new. We receive the gift of God's Holy Spirit. He comes to live inside of us. And now we have him with us every single moment of the day.
Yeah.
That's what God desires for each and every one of us. Yes, he wants us all to be free from addictions and that sort of thing, but he has something that is of greater priority.
Mm-hmm.
And so he is going to work with a person until they come to that point and see their real need of life and to turn to Christ and receive that very life.
Yeah. Well, Anthony, hope that's a help to you and hope that clarifies the issue for us. Thanks for reaching out to us. Again, friends, we have open lines, 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. And again, thank you for joining us. Friends, how hard are you trying to be pleasing to God? As Bob Christopher has noted, we're all natural-born legalists trying to, in one way or another, to do good for God, to sin less, to gain His approval. Friends, does that sound like anything that you're involved in with your life? And if you are, if you're sick and tired of that struggle, well, if so, let me assure you there is a better way. And you'll learn about it when you join Bob Christopher in Basic Gospel for Simply Grace, a live seminar designed to help you cast your cares on Jesus, because that daily struggle is not what He has designed for you. That's not what He wants for you. The Simply Grace Conference, register online at basicgospel.net/events. Again, that's basicgospel.net/events. Bob, we're looking forward to it.
We are looking forward to it, and I love the venue that we have. It's at the Medical City's Grand Theater in Old Town Louisville. Mm-hmm. Just a beautiful setting. Just going to be a great room to teach. We're just going to have a wonderful time centering all the messages around the grace of God. It answers all the why questions of life. Specifically those why questions that we ask about ourselves. Well, grace provides the answer to us in the person of Jesus Christ. So if you want to know kind of the heart and soul of the Christian message, then this is That's a conference it. For you. If you want to know how that God sees you even when you mess up, then this is a conference for you. If you want to know how to tap into the power that's available to you, then this is a conference for you. If you want to know how to have a deep connection to God through Jesus Christ, then this is a conference for you. So we're going to have sessions, and we'll go through various lectures. Then we'll have opportunity for question and answer, lots of time to mix and mingle with other like-minded believers. This is just going to be a fantastic time. So don't miss this opportunity to grow in the grace of God and to grow in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
The Simply Grace Conference coming up September 6th and 7th. Again, get the information and get registered by all means at basicgospel.net/events. Well, Bob, we have this question from Carl, who wrote to us through the Basic Gospel app from Georgia. He says, sometimes when I go on my knees and pray, I feel empty. It seems like God is not hearing my prayers. I know He hears the prayers of the righteous. I am a born-again believer in Jesus Christ our Lord, but it seems like He is nowhere to be found. Is something wrong? Am I doing something wrong?
Well, Carl, I think you're addressing something that we've all experienced at one time or another. Is God really listening? Does He really care? And I think we're judging that on our feelings. Like you said, I feel empty.
Yeah.
And those feelings of emptiness come from how we're thinking about our current situation, our current circumstances, about how we feel about ourselves. And so feelings just respond to thought. And that's one of the things that we really need to get hold of and to really recognize that I'm feeling something because that's what I'm thinking. And so we need our minds renewed. We need our minds renewed with truth. And so that's what the Spirit of God does for us. He renews our minds with truth. And so when we allow the Spirit of God to really fill our thinking with the truth from the Word of God, then our feelings are going to follow suit. But here's the confidence that we have as believers in Christ. He says in verse 13 of 1 John chapter 5, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So He wants you to know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of Him. So the truth is, because you're a child of God, His ear is always turned toward you. So He's always listening to you. Why? Because you're a child of God. You have eternal life. You have the Son. And So pray with confidence. Pray knowing that he's listening. But it also says that if you pray according to his will, then he will grant those requests. So how do we know the will of God? Well, that's when we need to listen to what God has to say to us by his Spirit through the Word. So as we are listening to God speak to us through the written Word of God, and we're starting to understand by the Spirit what his will is for us, and that's to live in this new covenant, to walk by faith, then our requests of God are going to follow suit. And that's when we will see these answers come pouring in. So, Carl, you have confidence in the fact that you are a child of God. You've been born again. You have God's Spirit living inside of you. So pray. Put your feelings on the back burner for a while. And as you do, you're going to let truth kind of guide you through this. Like I said, we so often let feelings become the driver in everything of our lives. And when our feelings don't match up with what we think they should be, then we start asking the question, is there something wrong? Well, no, there's nothing wrong. You are a child of God. You are right where God wants you to be, in Christ. You are forgiven. You are righteous. You are holy. You have been made perfect. You are fully alive in Jesus. Jesus is fully alive in you. You're exactly where God wants you to be. So let that truth be your confidence in your prayer life, and I think as you do, it's going to change how you perceive your prayers.
Well, Carl, we hope that's a help to you. It's a help if I have my microphone on sometimes as
yes,
well. So,
yes.
So thanks for reaching out. Bob, we had this question from Jay, who listens on our podcast, and he has about six different questions, but I think we can condense it down to maybe one or two. What does walking in the truth look like as opposed to walking in truth? And he differentiates in 3 John 3 and 3 John 4, where John says one time he's walking in the truth and the other time just says in truth. Is there a difference between those two?
Well, I don't know that there is really a difference between the two. When you're walking in truth, you're walking in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need to recognize. Jesus, in his conversation with the woman at the well, they're talking about worship, and Jesus said, I'm looking for those who will worship in spirit and truth. And so God has sent his Spirit to live inside of us. He is the Spirit of truth. He guides us into all truth, and our walk of faith is in that life that he is leading us in, and that's a life paved with the truth of God.
Yeah.
So as we walk in that, we walk in the fact that Jesus is God. We walk in the fact that Jesus has forgiven us our sins. We walk in the fact that we have been made righteous. We walk in all of those truths. And as we do, then our hearts respond with this attitude of thankfulness. And that's what this faith is all about. And that's all Spirit-led. It's all Spirit-driven. It's all Spirit-motivated. It's all Spirit-sourced. So he is the source of this new life that we have in Jesus Christ, a new life that is characterized by truth from start to finish.
Absolutely. Well, friends, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel. You know, tomorrow on this broadcast, we're going to be continuing in that powerful series called The Power of Eight. We hope to be here for it. And a reminder, if you've missed any of the sessions along the way, you can find them in the archive at basicgospel.net/teaching. All the sessions are there. We encourage you to take advantage of those and to share them with your family and with your friends. Keep in mind, too, that Basic Gospel is listener-supported, as we've said so many times, and the truth of that can't be argued. With your gift in August, you're going to receive our 6-CD audio series and study guide called Gateway to Grace. So click donate at basicgospel.net to make your August gift. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net for your multi-CD copy of Gateway to Grace, and its accompanying study guide. And while you're online, click the events menu for information on the Simply Grace Conference coming up September 6th and 7th, right here in our ministry hometown of Lewisville, Texas. Again, that's basicgospel.net/events. We would love to see you, and as Bob Christopher said earlier, we are very excited about this conference, the first one that we will have had in quite a while here in our home area. So we want you to be a part of it wherever you live. We want you to come and be a part of it, and you can get all the information again at basicgospel.net/events. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be here again tomorrow for the Power of Eight. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.